What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another edition, another installment, another episode. Yes, sir, drop a bomb in here. We're back. Oh, you know you couldn't keep us down. Listen, welcome to another edition, another episode, another installment, another episode, excuse me, of the Black Men Win podcast with your boy Ty the Pod Guy. We are here again, March 1st. Well, I'm sorry, we're recording March 1st. This will come out March 2nd, but I have a dynamic interview today, and why you may see this face on here, and you're like, this is the Black Men Win podcast. Why is a woman on here? Well, if you follow the podcast on Instagram, in conjunction and in celebration with Women's History Month, shout out to all the queens out there. I wanted to bring a specific type of series here to celebrate and give flowers to our Black women. So this is the Black Women Win series all month of March, okay? And we will be interviewing five dynamic and just amazing Black women from all walks of life who are, to me, not just intelligent, inspiring, motivational, but really can, with the questions that I have, can really dig deep into the conversation with being transparent and honest. So per first question, because I was literally about to introduce her, but per first question is literally letting the interviewee gas themselves and introduce themselves to the podcast family. So I'm going to let this beautiful soul introduce herself.
Wow. Okay. So, all pressure. I remember the song used to say, the gas pedal.
You got your gas pedal.
Let me tell you how my foot step a little bit, because that's not my move most times.
Come on now.
Hey, everybody. Hey, y'all. Hey, all my people. Welcome to the show. My name is Coach Tiaja A. For those of y'all that know me personally, I'm Tiaja. Y'all might know me as T or T Baby. Either way.
T Baby.
I am a multi-talented entrepreneur.
Yes.
Last year or the year before when we started COVID, we called it an edupreneur.
Yes.
And you do a little entrepreneurship.
Right.
So I'm a healthy blend of all of those things. I work with people in finding their life purpose. Mm-hmm. And I also help people kind of navigate those weird waters through higher education, because it is a little dicey, a little
absolutely
murky. But then on another professional tip, I started working in financial services as a life insurance broker.
Yes, ma'am.
And now I'm pivoting in that realm to start talking about some social justice issues within life insurance. So I've actually enjoyed a full calendar year. I'm about to wrap up into year two in working as a life insurance broker.
Wow. Can we just give a hand clap for that? Can we just give a hand clap for that? Now, I've known Tiaja. Oh, God. Lord have mercy. It goes probably all the way back to my freshman, sophomore year in college. You know those sisterly mothers that just kind of take you under their wing and take you in their womb and just like, oh, I'm going to nurture you. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're a soul that I don't want to see, you know, go over to the wayside. Tiaja was one of those for me. It's not, and what, from the school that we're coming from, it's not a lot of those around. You understand what I'm saying? And so Tiaja for me was a light. I don't ever thought I've said this to her face to face, or even, you know, Zoom to Zoom, right? But she was literally probably one of my biggest and first supporters when I started in the entrepreneurship game. Supporting, coming on the shows, commenting, liking, subscribing. And I mean, I'm to where I am now, to where I was, she kept doing that, right? Even in her journey. And again, I told her off cap, I said, I keep up with you, but I can't keep up with you. And see, the people who know me are like, yo, I can't keep up with you. I'm like, because I follow people that I can't keep up with. You understand what I'm saying? Like, people tell me, oh, man, you doing a lot. You dropping episodes here, episodes there. I'm like, because the people around me, the people that I look up to, are in every field doing any and everything. And specifically when it came to Tiaja, she, to me, used the educational field and the path to literally, like, open doors to new pathways. You understand what I'm saying? And so when I started, when I talked about, when I even had the vision or the thought to make the series, I was like, one of the first people I wanted to hit up was Tiaja. I was like, point blank, period, I want to hit Tiaja up, because I remember when she was really in her entrepreneurship bag. Like, I mean, supporting Black women, helping Black women. Literally, when she says life insurance, you feel what I'm saying? Like, she's helping people financially out here. She's helping us out here financially. And I'm like, well, damn, what does she do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, she's everywhere. You feel what I'm saying? Like, where are you? Like, you back in Michigan now, right?
Listen, my people. Okay, so my friends now call me Carmen San Diego, and they text me like, "You're the girl of Carmen." Like, that's an ongoing joke now, because just 2 days ago I was in Atlanta.
Right.
Just 2 weeks ago I was in Tampa, and the week before that I was in Charleston. So there was a time when I prayed for the life that I have right now.
Right.
When people tell me I need to slow down or I need some stability, I look at them sideways, because I'm like, you weren't in my prayer closet with me.
Mm.
Like, God gave me, yes, like, literally the desires of my heart. So I stay going, because why? I can.
Come on. Come. Because you can. Because you can.
And I am, like, I had posted on Instagram the other day, like, I thank God literally every day, especially Mondays now. Like, I actually don't dread my Mondays anymore.
Absolutely.
Because I know that I'm doing all that I can to build the life that I want.
Right.
And I'm proud of that. I didn't even realize that you were watching so closely, but
oh, absolutely.
Something that people connected to me could be proud of and believe in as well. You know what I mean? Because that's what real legacy is about.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm gone. I'll be here. I'm in Michigan today. And I told myself I would be here for the entire month of March, so I could knuckle in and really dig in, because I have some things that are about to pop off. So I guess
come on now.
Exclusive.
Come on.
There's no place like home, right?
Absolutely. You know what? I haven't been to, when was the last time I've been to Michigan, particularly Detroit? It was for Cordell's graduation, and then I came back in June for my aunt's funeral. So I haven't been back since June, and I'm homesick. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I am very much homesick. I love New York. New York is great. Not gonna lie. New York is amazing.
Okay. What part of New York are you in?
You know what? This is my third borough that I've lived in the last year and a half. So I'm in the Bronx right now. And when I mean deep in the Bronx, I am in the hood. No disrespect to the hood of the Bronx. I love the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? But I'm in the hood. You know what I'm saying? But it's really been a journey. Moving out here, if you guys understand or know the story at all, 2020 was, of course, pandemic debacle. COVID hit like wildfire, of course. And that was my graduation, getting my master's year, and I'm living on my friend's couch, and I don't know what the hell is going to happen, right? I was supposed to go to Colorado and figure things out, and that didn't fall through. And I remember just sitting there, just flabbergasted, mad, just, okay, Lord, I literally tried to do everything you told me to do, and it still didn't work out. Now, what is next? And I remember Amber Hudson, my best friend, she was working in New York at the time, and per pandemic, she was actually remote. So she was living in Chicago with her parents, and I hit her up and just told her what happened, and all she said to me, and this changed my life. I'm not even gonna lie to you. She said, "Yo," because she's never like the type to sit here and pity me, right? When I'm sitting here, you know, feeling bad for myself, she said, "Okay, I got a plan. I'm gonna come to Grand Rapids and we're gonna drive to New York. 13 hours. Well, I made it a 10-hour drive because I was driving like Speedy Gonzalez. But I made it a 10-hour drive. Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. I made it a 10-hour drive. I was not trying to be on that road for no, we out. Mm-mm. Like, we out of here. And that was it. That was the beginning of this. And so to see everything kind of come to fruition, it's just like, wow. I know I wanted to be in New York. I wanted to be in New York this year, right? And I was like, oh, this is crazy that I'm here maybe a year or two earlier. So it's been a journey. I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy that you are on the show. Like, literally, we are here to give you your flowers, Ciesha. You are an amazing mentor, educator, dare I say philanthropist in a way? Dare I say?
Speak to me, Lord. Okay,
because I'm just seeing the way that you're moving and the way that you're connecting with people, right? You always had that ability to really connect with people on a deeper level, and I always loved that about you. So we are here to give you your flowers and say thank you for being who you are. You feel what I'm saying, Queen? Thank you for being who you are. You feel me? So, going into this, right, I don't know if you've ever listened to the Black Men Win podcast, but the podcast is literally for us as Black men to have a open, transparent, and honest dialogue about Black men, right, and what we go through in our minds and our bodies and things of what we talk about here is very just like spiritual, mental, emotional, everything. So, per the second question, I want to reverse it. Right. When it comes to 2022, right, I've always said, like on the podcast, us as Black men and just in general as Black people, we're doing a better job of tapping into more of our spiritual and our emotional and our mental rather than just the physical and the financial. Right now, is it a slow process? Absolutely. But as a Black woman and as someone who particularly works in the field with Black women, what do you see when it comes to those five areas? I actually call it the five Ferris wheel feelings of Black men, right? But in this case, I will call it the five Ferris wheels of Black women, right? What do you see in those five areas of being spiritual, mental, physical, financial, and emotional? Do they coexist? Do we put too much? Do Black women put too much into something other than that? Or are you guys tapping into each one, or you specifically?
That is such a loaded question. I do, because it's so many different layers to unpack and really, right, really think about, right?
Right.
Two semesters ago, I took a class on Black women again.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't taken a class like that since undergrad. And believe my frustration that I started undergrad in 2009. And it's not until 2020 that I took another class that was even offered. Like, let's talk about that.
Mm.
Some institutions don't even offer the opportunity to look at Black women as a group that's worthy of scholarship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, when you start talking about like the mental, the physical, and the spiritual, like every other field, every other group of people is worthy of scholarship, but Black women is one of the most underserved groups, even in the world of academia.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So understanding those pressures, right? So let's talk about society.
Mm-hmm.
We are very familiar with Black women being strong.
Yes.
And
I've strong heard, Black woman trope. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yes. And we celebrate it. I mean, baby. And we love it. And I'm not saying that's not something worthy of celebration.
Right.
Especially when you think about Big Mama or, you know, your auntie or somebody that has endured a whole lot. That's almost a badge of pride.
Right.
But quiet is kept. There's more Black women stepping forward, talking about the weight of the strong Black woman.
Right.
Right. Because it's almost this false narrative of I can do everything, but I don't have the permission to tell you that I actually can't.
Mm.
So when I took the class, it was almost Black girl therapy for me to know that there's sisters in the world of academia.
Yes.
that have stepped away from academia
yes.
to put pen to paper, put poetry, put prose together to talk about the ways that Black women experience healing.
Right.
Way that Black women lean into one another. Okay, so we talk about Black girls all the time having groups and cliques and stuff like that. You know, sometimes they get messy, but in real life, they give therapy. Like, right. it really provides a space for healing and a real opportunity for some of us, if we're open to it, to challenge one another's thought processes and the way we view the world. Mm-hmm. So I think from what I've seen, and honestly, that's part of why I started my podcast, mm-hmm. She Speaks, right?
Right.
Short pub.
Right, check that out, please.
It started off as a research paper, y'all, that I needed to do in my master's program. But the acronym itself says She Shares Personal Experiences to Advance the Knowledge of Self, Spirituality, and Success. Whew. So as I was doing my research, thank you. it started healing me. And I never thought that learning about how different women have overcome, even when we start talking about sex and sexuality, the way that we look at the binary, and I'm not going to get into it super deep because I don't want everybody to know what I know. But what I do know, the way that we view sexuality on Black women, we expect Black women to be overly sexual or super, super chaste.
Right.
Like, there's no room to, well, now we're creating room. And, and I think that's the difficult part. Within Black women, we create room for ourselves. But these outside opinions usually are coming from some space of either privilege or expectation that's being projected on Black women. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you like it like that? You must be a fill in the blank. Like, being that enjoys, we'll just say chocolate cake, for example.
Right.
Rather than me being a human that enjoys chocolate cake, I have to be now called a name because now I'm unworthy to have desires or to like something. Mm-hmm. So those weird spaces, and this is something that I've noticed too, that Black men and other biopic folks deal with as well, is that stereotype threat, those expectations of behavior. So like I said, the research and talking to other Black women has become more therapeutic because when it's just us, we can talk.
Right.
We don't judge. If we do judge, we laugh about it.
Right.
And sometimes we hurt one another, but the healing space that all of us are in is unlike any other. I tell my former students all the time, they don't realize how this generation that we're living in right now, the one behind us, is the most educated and the most blessed because they have words.
Right.
They have experiences to pull from that didn't exist 10, 20 years ago.
Right.
Like
gaslighting
wasn't even a term.
Yeah, that's facts.
You know what I'm saying? Nice. So, like, they have a different type of risk, or just talking about sexuality in an open way. Like,
right.
That wasn't a thing 20 years ago, 15 years ago, even 10 years ago. So, the opportunity to explore Black girlhood and Black womanhood is almost like a sweet peach.
I like that. And I want to ask you a follow-up question to that. Just a sidebar question. How, because for me, I've been listening to a lot of Black women, and the one common denominator between all of them, whether it be educational or entertainment wise, has been that the Black woman, the strong Black woman trope, is just that, right? It is something that, as you made a point to, it is something that you guys hold hard, you know, you hold it to your chest. We love that you guys, you know, you guys love that in a sense that we respect and honor you in that way. But the flip side, the coin to that, is that doesn't allow you the vulnerability to express that you are emotional, right? You're having mental issues, right? So in your world, how has that affected you mentally and emotionally?
So my initial response that I heard as you were asking your question, you know how some people talk before you let them get the question. One of me has been doing it. So this is how I've been learning how to gauge and like grow in this.
Mm-hmm.
Give me my humanity.
Right. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Give me back my right to feel.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't make me feel as if me having feelings disqualifies me from my womanhood. Why can't your nasty comment hurt my feelings? Why do I have to be strong because you're talking crazy to me? Why can't I tell you that when you give me flowers, that makes me really happy? Like, right. Why did you take away my permission? Or why do you think you have the audacity to take my permission for me to feel and to exist?
Right.
So I've enjoyed listening to different women talk about femininity. Mm-hmm. And that delicate balance between understanding your power mm-hmm. and your strength, but resting in a space of femininity that isn't necessarily threatening to masculinity, because that's not limited to gender. Mm-hmm. That's more so about your being and your existence.
Absolutely.
Right. So I've been learning how to lean into that, right? Like, I understand I'm smart, but I don't have to necessarily flex my smartness. Mm. Right.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I know that I'm worthy.
Right.
But in my conversation, when you try to put me down, I don't have to tell you I'm the baddest and I'm worthy of much better and I can do better than you. I have enough class to walk away. And that didn't disrupt my confidence. That didn't disrupt my energy. Mm-hmm. But that still gives me my power and my beauty and my femininity. In a sense, right? So a lot of that is an intellectual balance, right? What is my opinion of me? How do I want my opinion of me to be expressed? And did that match what God said about me this morning before I left the house?
Right.
So that practice is something that I'm doing every day, but I am. Yep. Come on.
Did y'all hear what she said? I just wanted to just slip this in real quick. This whole time she's been talking, she's put God into the mix. Did y'all hear me? Did y'all hear me? Like, I need y'all to understand, like, God is real. One. Okay. I just wanted to let y'all know that. Two, the fact that you have not sat here and not put God into the mix, like, literally every sentence that you have literally said or I've heard, God has been in there. You understand what I'm saying? And a lot of the times, not just for black women, but for black men as well, we don't seek ye first, right? And it's been of importance to me to really try to understand what is it that we're not seeing or not experiencing when it comes to him inside of our lives. You understand what I'm saying? And so when you continue to talk, it's like, yo, I hear God. Did God sit here and say, that's how I want you to walk out the house today? Not how you wanted to walk out the house today, but how God looks at you. And trust me, I'm on a fast this month, right? So everything for me is,
let me tell you something. That thought process will get you all the way together, because personally, I realized how much of my personal journey was walking in direct contradiction of what he said about me. Okay. Everybody has that one ex that you probably know you don't need to go back to or text. Okay. Get that person in your mind.
That's the one.
Isn't that really God's the best that he had for you?
Right.
Like, is this really the abundance and the promise he has set up?
Right.
Or was this what you thought you deserved? And every time I think about that, I'd be like, dang, T, that's really what you think of yourself? Like, forget what people talking about. Forget what people have said. You, girl.
You.
Mm-hmm. That's how you're going to talk to you?
Yeah.
That's how you're going to treat. God made you. Mm-hmm. And he gave you authority. And you're supposed to have stewardship over your body, over your finances, over your well-being. And this is how you're going to treat his creation? You got some nerve. And it's a blessing that you got up this morning, because he should have snatched your tail up. Mm. Right? So before, I'm glad y'all tuning in. I hope y'all hear me deep. Before you ever doubt yourself again, because I doubt myself quite a bit, but the other T get to tapping me on the shoulder. Is that really what God thought about you today? Did he say you were unworthy? Tell that other one that's trying to talk to you to shut up. And then sometimes I add additional adjectives and verbs. And
you know, you got it. Exactly. You know, you got to add the other ones, you know,
a little
words that, you know, I'd be like, you'd be like, close your ears, Lord. You don't want to hear this one. You understand what I'm saying? But I think you said something very important right there. It's more of, hey, because our thoughts can be killers. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we know this. Our thoughts can be killers. But I know for me, and to your point, me personally, experiencing God's voice in the back of your head when your thoughts are just trying to, especially when you are in a place, a new journey, a new transition, everything, and your thoughts are trying to just kind of revert back to what you were doing instead of moving you forward and kind of disinhabiting all the things that you used to do to make you move forward. It's like, nah, bruh, you ain't. I got big God on my side. You feel me? Or whoever you pray to.
Yes.
I got that on my side. I don't, you know, and again, just to your point, you might have to say a few fuck you, nigga. Like, you better leave me alone. You feel me? You know, I ain't the one to play with. Like, you, I'm God's child. Like, I'm a king's kid. You feel me? You better leave me alone. You feel me? So, going into that, the third question, we talk about generational curses a lot. And I say generational curses because I don't particularly like to say the word. And we changed it around to kind of generational patterns. What generational patterns, whether negative or positive, have you seen maybe reoccurring in this new generation? And if you can get into a little bit more of the negative ones that are coming into positive fruition, right? Because I think I had my guy Eugene on, shout out to him. And he was just talking about, like, we talk about generational curses, but do we talk about generational blessings? And I said, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You said something right there. And so I want you to talk to that. Like, what generational patterns do you see, and what are the blessings that come from those?
Oh. Because this one catches me up sometimes.
Right.
So I'm going to reiterate a point that I brought up earlier talking to my students. So y'all, I hope I look good because I'm not, my skin is still holding itself up pretty well. All right. When I realized that my students were just 18, and some of them was born after 2000, I was like,
yo, when you got to realize that,
mix it up, okay? I'm old enough.
They say we were born in the 1900s now.
Yes. Oh my God. I remember one day.
Jesus.
Somebody said Jesus. The 90s was old school. And I said, How do you figure?
NASA
for me. That wasn't it. It's doing a lot for me. But to answer your question.
Oh my goodness.
I did not grow up knowing my maternal grandmother.
Wow.
And that's mainly because she passed away in the 80s, and I didn't come around until the 90s.
Right.
But my sister and half of my first cousins grew up with our grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me that she finished seventh grade. She was an only child, and her parents passed away before she was a mature adult.
Oh, wow.
So she chose to have 13 children so that way her kids and herself wouldn't be alone. So sometimes I sit and I think of what my grandmother might have prayed for
in her
daughters. And what she might have prayed for in her granddaughters. And I would hope that the right or the wrong that was created in America just by virtue of how life was. Mm-hmm. Grandma was born in 22, wow. Grew up in South Carolina, moved to Arkansas, mm-hmm. then up to Michigan with my grandfather, right? Mm-hmm. Had all these beautiful babies. I would hope that me living the life that I am, getting this education that I am working on now, was my grandmother's prayers manifest.
Yes.
So when I realized too that my mother was born in 1954, and that was the year that Brown versus Board of Education happened,
yep.
It clicked in my mind that my mom was one of the first out of the 13 to go to school where it was normal for integration.
Right.
Meanwhile, wow, for her own siblings, mm-hmm. they grew up knowing segregation. So opportunity to even get into certain programs or to get an associate's degree, my mom was telling me they didn't let her finish. What is it called when you go to become an ambulance attendant?
What is that? Is that it?
Y'all, drop it in the chat if you know what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, please. Just drop it in the comments. Lord have mercy.
But they let my mom finish.
Wow.
And that was in the 80s too. My mama would have been the first Black woman in Muskegon County to do that, but they didn't let her finish, right? And then other things played into that
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely.
But when I think about generational curses turning into blessings, mm-hmm. my grandmother prayed over her children and by virtue prayed for me. So really that hard work and that tenacity, mm-hmm. was the generational blessing that came down from my grandmother onto me. Mm. So now when I think of the opportunity to one day call myself Dr. Tiaja, like
Cause it's coming. Oh, I see it's coming.
I wear that knowing that even in my family line, mm-hmm. I'm just the two generations removed from the one that couldn't even finish middle school.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But did I know that at 19? Did I know that at 21? No. I just found that out in my 30s.
Right.
So part of those generational curses that I think the young people of today are living under is the absence of historical legacy that they are being birthed into.
Come on. Because that's a word. That's a word. Like,
can we talk about that real quick? We love to shame this generation for being entitled, right?
Yes.
I say they might be, but they aren't without cause.
Right.
They are entitled because somebody sweated really, really hard, opened up opportunities yes. for them to not have to worry about anything.
Yes, yes.
So on some sides, they were born into generational blessing, not knowing the curse that was broken before they got here.
You better get me together.
You know what I'm saying? So like, even just in their existence, like I was sharing with my cousin one day, he was mad because his kids had an attitude because they weren't going to Florida for spring break. Mm-hmm. And they went every year. Mm-hmm. And this year, they were planning on buying a bigger house to surprise the kids, you know? So he was like, my kids all entitled, blah, 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 blah. I said, pause, cuz. Do you realize that you created a world for your kids that they don't know anything but that? Like, you don't even realize the beautiful life that you blessed your kids with, and you resent them for loving the life that you worked hard to give them?
And it's
you didn't teach them.
Yes. And it's to that, like, it's because we want to see them struggle the way we struggled, right? Like, let's keep it a bean. To your point, this generation is very entitled. But to your point, we've created that life for them. In a sense, yep. You understand what I'm saying? Because we don't want them to. And for me, I know when I bear fruit and have children, I don't want them to. I don't want to say I struggled like crazy, but there was struggle amongst my journey. Right. I don't want them to sit there and struggle the way I struggled. Now you're going to go through and you're going to face adversity. I'ma hold you down, right? But the new struggles that are probably going to come up in their lives, it's like I don't think that it's going to be as massive or as crazy, or maybe because we're older, right? We're seeing it as it's not going to be as painful as it was for us, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing from you is basically we struggled for them to kind of be entitled in a sense, right? Am I wrong here?
No. So like we created the beast, but not knowing how to heal the beast. So in my mind, one of the ways to ratify the problem is to teach them the legacy, right?
Right.
And to help them be humble in their escalation of getting through things.
Right.
But I do think our generation kind of fails to be mindful of the America that they were born into. Like, we can't dismiss that this group had access to information and to different opportunities that just didn't exist.
Right.
Just in our age group. And yep. We're only talking like maybe a 5-7 year gap.
Yep.
Furthermore, the stress that comes along with opportunity. We don't talk about opportunities and positive energy being a weight. We always talk about the negative stuff.
Right.
So we almost don't have the tools as the older generation to help them navigate this new level of trauma or concern of affirmation through social media. Because affirmation through social media wasn't necessarily hidden like it is now.
No.
Yeah, MySpace.
No, because I tell a lot of my cousins, my young cousins and everything, I said, before y'all was doing the TikToks and the Instagram, reels and everything and really popping out here, we were blogging with the crazy looking camera that was low key to shit back in the 2000s and shit.
Yep.
And when MySpace and Black Planet and all of them started to come, those were our social medias. We were popping. But we didn't have those same struggles, though.
No.
In a sense, go ahead.
I was going to say the bullying for us back then, or like the relevancy for us back then, was still in person.
Exactly.
Like, it wasn't, like, I was talking to a woman about her son, who kind of isn't really trying to pursue anything with college because he's not seeing the affirmation with him posting on social media because he's going into rapping. Like, he's going to be a musician, right?
Gotcha.
But people aren't really engaging in his content, whereas his friends at school that do it get views, replays, da-da-da-da. So he'd be deleting his content because he's just feeling that insecure, and then he gets depressed. And her as the mom doesn't really know how to coach him through that, except like, you got to keep going. So it's almost like that toxic positivity, right?
Right, because what else can we say? You got to keep going. I don't know. That's it. I don't know. Like, what do you think? Sidebar question again. To that point, how does a mother help a child in that situation? Or how does a parent help a child in that situation where, again, to our point, when it comes to, because our generation really created social media, were the test dummies for social media, right? The ebbs and flows and everything. And now we're here, 2022. We got Twitters, we got the Pinterests, we have the TikToks, we have the Facebooks, Metaverse. We have Meta, right? We have all of these social media platforms, apps and games and all of this technology. And to your point, if an 18-year-old or 17-year-old is in high school and trying to pursue something and is not getting the views, doesn't have the thousands of followers, and maybe the blue check mark, it is something that I've had to come to realize, like, people really get depressed over and really get sad over. So how does a parent navigate that? Or in your way of thinking, how do you think a parent navigates that? Especially when we're talking about parents who are coming from the generation maybe a little older than us, and then our generation who are parents, like, how do you navigate that?
I mean, that's another good question. Come on with these pivot questions.
I'm just saying, like, it's because you're bringing up some great explanations, and it's just like, okay, she's hitting on things that we talk about for real. Because I talk about this all the time off camera with my girlfriend. I'm like, she's a teacher, and she teaches all girls, kindergartners. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? And she's like, babe, sometimes these girls ain't getting it. You know, they worried about, and I've seen her teach remotely, right? See, I'm not gonna lie to you. These kids are worried about the screen, the lights, the views. I need followers. 10 years old. I got like 10,000. Like, T, it's kids out here who got more followers than me and you combined.
A whole new world. You understand? New kid. They don't even know that song. How about that? Like, how about that?
And it baffles me that they, and no disrespect, but it baffles me that some to most of these kids can't even know the ABC. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like, it hurts me something like somewhere in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were growing up, again, to your point, we were still in person. Classes, everything. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the luxury, we didn't have the pandemics going on. Like, we had things going on, but everything was still in person. Phones were like sidekicks and razors and your top five on T-Mobile and all that. Like, these kids will never know that. They will never know that. So it's just like a question is, how do parents navigate that? They're going to try to do the things that they were taught by their parents. And it's like, you can't really do that in this parenting generation now. Am I wrong?
You know, okay, so let's qualify all of this. Since you and I aren't parents yet.
Right.
Like, we're always going to be from the outside looking in.
Absolutely.
So for those of you that
Absolutely.
Are tuning in,
no disrespect.
That are parents, we are not sending for you.
No.
But what I can say that I admire, my line sister Mariah mentioned that she raises her daughter who is, Jalen's older now.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say her age, but she's under 10.
Okay.
Right, we'll just say that as a frame of reference. She has always talked to Jalen as if she were not necessarily an adult, but a human. So she didn't really do the baby talk thing. She always knew that if she talked to Jalen about something that was very big, like, let's say racism, like, that's a really big conversation.
Absolutely.
She trusted that at some point she would start understanding those different elements. Right. Then she went on to describe how her child was a human having a human experience. And if she, as the parent, could have bad days where she wanted to cry and didn't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
Why couldn't her daughter get in the car after a bad day at school and not want to talk to her?
Right.
So I don't know that we always look at kids or children as humans with the right to have feelings or to not know how to process their feelings. Mariah made it a point to say, my five-year-old has feelings and doesn't know what to do with it. Let me help teach her. So Mariah spends a lot of time embodying what it means to be angry or how to express that anger. So I think as parents learning how to work shoulder to shoulder with schools or dealing with social media, I think that level of vulnerability that builds trust is really hard, especially for Black men and Black women, because we traditionally, historically, it was not safe for us to be vulnerable. It was survival. And like, I'm circle back to that. We are coming out of this survival mode. Like, we have elements of that.
Talk about
right?
it. Yes.
Where we're still concerned about police brutality.
Yes.
Where we're still cautious about, am I going to make it home after work?
Right.
Am I going to deal with being profiled today?
Right.
But then on the flip side, we have access to more life-giving things.
Right.
So we're shifting out of survival mode into thriving.
Right.
And sometimes we bring those old habits of survival mode, like do as I say, not as I do. Like, don't worry about what people think about you. What is it? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words
never hurt me. Mm-hmm.
we all know that mental health is real.
Yes.
Words hurt much more than stones and whips and things like that. So since we know that now, I think as parents and professionals that work with kids practice humanity and learn how to tap into empathy, I think we can see a different type of pivot, right? I'm often concerned about how we teach teachers to interact with kids.
Amen.
Like, that's why I really wanted to go and get my PhD in education, because I was like, why don't more teachers understand how to talk to young people? Like,
why are you
talking to them in a dismissive tone? Because you're the authority figure. Kids love to test authority because they were kids.
My girlfriend completely hates when other teachers talk to a child or talk at a child. It grinds her gears. Like, and she's been in education for about 10 years plus. So it grinds her when her coworker or somebody, another teacher, is talking at these kids. And these kids are in the kindergarten, first grade. I'm like, wait, whoa, pause. You can't talk to these kids like that. They're human. And I said, the same way you talking to them, they're going to remember that. And they're going to sit here and say, it's okay for me to do that because my teacher did that. It's okay for me to sit here and talk crazy to you like this because my, you understand what I'm saying? So she tries different methods. She doesn't sit here and, you know, now if they acting up, you know, she gonna get it right. You know what I'm saying? But there's, to your point, it's like, we have to do different methods. We have to try different methods. And as black folks, black men, black women, black parents, it is okay. Let me say this. It is okay for us to try different things and not the traditional. Because as we have seen in a lot of our communities, the traditional way of doing things has kind of put a trauma on us. Am I wrong?
Let's talk about tradition, though.
Well, let's talk about it.
Tradition, like I said, that's survival mode.
Absolutely.
So that's almost like this sense of obligation to bring yesterday into my present and for it to dictate my future.
Right.
Even though we know where we came from, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are limited to what you're doing now.
Absolutely.
Like, why penalize your child because they don't have to get a switch off the tree?
Jesus, I hated those switches too. Let me tell you.
Why do they have to pay the penalty because they ain't doing nothing?
Exactly.
Or let's talk about this on the flip side. Some of these young people are functioning adults.
Because can we talk about it?
Because the cares of life have dictated them to learn how to move as adults, move as professionals in different things. Like, I had a little preschooler. This was years ago, y'all, like that 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. I had a preschooler that had learned how to steal and make sure that nobody saw him. Because the life that he was living then had dictated that he needs to learn that skill set.
Right.
So sometimes when we sit in a seat, I feel it. Thank you.
Come on.
When we sit in a seat of higher looks or authority, or we think we have privilege over somebody, like teacher to student, we think that's a positionality of authority, or men to women, or women to men, depending on which vantage point, or non-gender conforming to heterosexual individuals, right? Like sometimes we always try to make one better than the other. You miss out, and your judgment often comes amiss. Because like the Bible say, you miss the speck in your own eye.
Come. I'm just saying.
Hello, y'all heard
me? I'm just saying.
Okay, because why are these kids bad? And why are they not listening if you aren't listening to their needs?
That part.
If you're the elder and you're the authority, how are you not modeling what they need to know? But they're supposed to trust you and listen to you, and you talking to them like an adult off the street, and you cussing at them.
Right.
Oh, okay. I'm a kid.
Oh, okay. But no, you're right. Like, we cannot. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. Back in the day, it wasn't as much of a thing as it was now, where you can't talk to children like that, right? I was talked to like that when I was growing up as an adult, right? At like 9, 10 years old, 11 years old, right? Because they see you and they're like, oh, you growing up, you can hear all of this. And it's like, no, I kind of don't, right? But it's a thing where, again, to Tiaja's point, you don't have to bring the past into the present or the future. You understand what I'm saying? And so that is going really into our fourth question. How can Black women, and maybe this can be a community thing as well, but particularly how can Black women individually and as a collective help the next generation of Black women coming up in this generation? Because it's a lot, right? Even going back to what I said in the beginning of the podcast, when I asked the second question, as a community, we are thriving, right? We're, as you pointed out, we're getting out of survival mode and thriving. However, there are moments where we tap back into survival mode because it's such a comfortable space to be in, right? Yeah. It's such a comfortable space to be in. We don't want to leave survival mode because, and to some people's points, people aren't surviving, right? Like it's a thing where damn if you do, damn if you don't. Mm-hmm. If I live, I just might die. If I stay in a survival mode, I just might die. How can Black women make it better for the little girls that are looking up to you guys?
This is such a good question. And I'll start with the community first. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is more of a community issue.
Yes.
Than anything else.
Yes.
Our community needs to recognize, and I say this respectfully, y'all.
Respectfully.
Because I'm about to step on your neck.
Uh-oh.
That Black women have always been taking care of the girls, the boys, our dads, our aunts, feeding.
I can't disagree. I was raised by a Black woman who literally is taking care of my grandma right now and took care of my aunt up until the day she passed. So there is no disagreement in anything that you're saying right now.
I need our community to see us, not just as the caregiver either, but we are producers.
Yes.
We are intellectual. We are the Maya Angelou. Like so many different poets describe what Black women are, but I need our community to tap in and recognize that and not to continuously put us in a box as if we haven't shown up, as if we're not trying to show up, or as if we're not a good or a suitable helpmeet. Even the shaping of this question, right? Mm-hmm. Almost could offer that Black women haven't been reaching down or reaching around the community.
And right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not necessarily pointing it at you, but this is just an in general kind of conversation piece that I've seen and heard people bring up. Like, how can we allow Black women to lift up the community or do more, right?
Oh, no. Because
I've heard it. What's that app? Clubhouse.
Oh, God. Love Clubhouse because Clubhouse, you know, gives me some rooms that I love to get in, but I understand wholeheartedly.
It's these odd questions that our community doesn't realize that they're organically dismissive of Black women contribution. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I need my community to take a step back and give Black women their roses as you are today.
Yes.
And to really realize the contributions that Black women make across the board.
Absolutely.
Right. To the Black women, I say keep that energy, honey, because regardless if they see us, if they respect us, if they highlight us, if they give us the flowers, honey, we know how to grow them. We know how to put them in our hair. Mm-hmm. We know how to dress them on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we have us.
Yes, ma'am.
And if we don't have us, we know how to create community, right? We know how to birth and carry things. We know how to carry weights, and right. we know how to let go. Black women are good at holding grudges, but we're also good at giving love.
Yes.
And forgiving.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Short rant. The biggest atrocity is America's dismissiveness of the Black woman to this country.
Facts.
And despite that, Black women love their abuser. We show up and we love this country. We pay taxes.
Yes.
Right now, Black women is saturated in the entrepreneurship market,
yes.
right? The whole crux of capitalism, right? So even though you don't see me, even though you may not publish my work, you may not want to grant me degrees or whatever have you, all these barriers to mm-hmm, success, mm-hmm. Black women consistently are creating community and spaces for all people to be successful. And that goes back generations.
And
right?
man, and see the framing of this particular question is, and I want Black women to understand this, the framing of this particular question is not to sit here and say, how can Black women do better? No, not at all. It is understanding that Black women have continued to be literal, as you said, producers and leaders. You understand what I'm saying? Being, for me personally, and I wanted to do this series, because being raised by Black women, let's put it now, no disrespect to my uncles and everything, love y'all, right? But if I'm honest with me, Black women have raised me. You understand what I'm saying? They have raised me. They have been mentors such as yourself to me. You understand what I'm saying? Not to say my Black men haven't. Y'all can go check out past episodes, but this ain't about us right now. You understand what I'm saying? They have literally been mentors to me. I can sit here and say wholeheartedly that I've had more Black women pour into me than I've had Black men. That's no knock.
Mm-hmm.
But that is important to me, because I always had a feeling that I said, no matter what, I can sit here and learn a little bit more from a Black woman. Because she can tap into that emotional, and she can tap into that spiritual a little bit more than a Black man. And that's just facts.
Mm-hmm.
That's just pure facts. And I'm going to go here. Black. There was a class at Grand Valley, and I forgot the Black woman teacher's name. She was a part of the Red Hat Association and all that good stuff. It was a Black woman's culture class that I took. And it was probably my sophomore year in college. Best class I ever took. Because for me, I wanted to understand the mind of a Black woman. Because I felt like, yo, these are probably the most intellectual beings, humans, that we have on Earth. And I'm like, I need to kind of understand where all this intellect comes from. Like, for real, I'm in there like, and let's just say I got a B+ in that class. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to that. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to know and get to the framework, because I'm a docu buff, and all the docu series that I've seen about, you know, when we talk about Black American history, Black women have not only been in the forefront, but in the back. And the fact that, for me, I don't hear too many about them, and always about the men. I'm like, I love you, Black man. Love you, OG. But you wouldn't have no signs if it wasn't for that Black woman sitting there getting that glue, that poster board, going to the 60s version of IKEA and all of that. You understand what I'm saying? Right, like going to the 50s and 60s version of Walmart, and like, you wouldn't have that. You wouldn't have the movements that we even see today. And so for me, I don't want this question to be framed as what can you do better, but it's like, no, we see you, or particularly me, I see it. But I also see that there are Black women, Black little girls. And I say this to my men when I ask them the same question. Because I asked him the same question. I'm like, how can we as black men, both individually and collectively, help our little black boys? Because now we are the aunties, the mm-hmm. uncles, mm-hmm. the godfathers, the godmothers. Mm-hmm. Hell, we're becoming parents.
Yes.
We're not young anymore. We're not the 21, 22s, right? We're getting into our 30s. We're becoming parents. We're getting into our careers for real. You understand what I'm saying? We're living life for real. We're thriving. We're not surviving anymore. And so with that comes a lot of change. And so what all that we've been talking about, the traditional and everything, it's like, what can we do better for the next generation that's coming up after us? Because they're looking at us. Yeah, they can call us old all they want to. They can call us all. Listen, what I learned is you can call me old all you want to, but I know you're watching me. Just like I was watching mine.
I really, like when I say keep the energy, like that wasn't me being facetious.
Yes.
We are authors now. We are working in political office
yes.
now.
Yes. We're judges.
Really? Thank you. I was just about to say
we're
that.
Judges now.
Come on and get in my mind.
Yeah.
We create coloring books. We create podcasts.
Yes.
We have open dialogues. We listen. My point is the energy that we have right now,
yes,
while we don't know everything, the spaces that we're curating is what they need to see.
Absolutely.
The diversity of opportunity, right? Like even going back to the kids that's, and I hope some young person does tune into this so they can really
absolutely
tap in and pull something. For the young people that's struggling with the likes or the engagement, it was a woman, life insurance client, y'all, in her late 60s, that is a woman preacher. So, and we didn't even get a chance to unpack our societal standards and our double standards for men versus women in certain right. spaces. Like when you were talking about what women do and how we supported movements and stuff like that, I thought about Django when they were fussing about the Klan hat.
Yeah.
Okay. Women might not be perfect, but women been supporting men for a long time.
Yo, a long time. Look.
But this woman, y'all, in her late 60s, I would argue she might have even been 72.
Wow.
But she's a preacher and a prophetic preacher. Mm-hmm. And she's not one of those type of prophetic preachers that prophesies all the time. And she was sharing her discomfort about not prophesying all the time because she too has been in Clubhouse and she too sees all these other prominent preachers getting more streams, more views. And she said that she stopped ministering for a little while because it just didn't seem like Facebook was a platform for
wow.
her.
Wow. Wow. That is nuts to me. Uh-oh. Do we have some connection? What's going on? Oh, there we go. She's back.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You are not alone. This is not an isolated experience. Even I struggle with that too.
Right.
And I think as we all move forward, it's going to be a different conversation for us saying we struggle with this like you.
Right.
And it's not going to be an age gap. So to the little black girls and to the little black boys that we are curating spaces for, I think the energy that we have now, knowing what we know, like I'm telling you, we are our grandparents' prayers.
Yes.
We have the patience. Yes. We have the fortitude to reach back and provide more resources right. for them to overcome.
Right.
That's all we shall overcome. That's still real.
Yes.
Because there's new things for us to overcome each generation. So right now it's social media. Back then it was trying to learn how to read.
Amen.
And let's keep it all the way a trill. If we go to the right school district, that's still an issue. Like you said that earlier. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like to your point, the energy that we are bringing to the marketplace, the solution is us uplifting one another.
Right.
And not this either or, but both and.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Black women uplifting black men uplifting black women.
Yes.
The only reason people don't know that black women sit in positions of leadership and authority and have been doing the work is because either someone tried to silence us or they said us talking at a normal tone was too loud because they didn't have any intention on hearing us in the first place.
Now that's a bar. We're going to drop a bomb for that one. You hear what I'm saying? Because listen, that's a bar. And that's true. Oh, black women are too loud. They just got two attitudes and everything like that. It's like, listen, I was raised by a black woman with all of that. And she raised a amazing and educated black king. You feel what I'm saying? And it would bother me when I would hear that in a way, because I'm like, I'm my mother. I got the same attitude. I got the same aggression. You feel me? I have all of that. But I also am my dad. I'm very calm. I'm very chill at some points. And I don't know how to relax. And so it's like you realize, and this is for black men particularly, you realize that you are more like your mother than your father when you continue to grow up. Like when you continue, like it hit me maybe at like 25. Like me and my mom had a real conversation, maybe 26. And I was like, you know, we are very much similar, right? Like we pop off. We can sit here and get aggressive with our words a little bit. And I'm like, me and my mom have gotten to some bits where it's like I had to pull back and say, whoa, I'm you in flesh. I am you in flesh. And I'm like, that's crazy. She was like, I raised you. You me. I'm you. And I'm like, that is so important to understand. Like, black women have been the producers of life for years, for generations, for centuries, right? And it's just like, we have to put some respect on that name. So going into the last question, T, when you hear black women win, right? What does that mean to you? I asked this question to my brothers that come on the show. What does black men win mean to you? When you hear black women win, what does that signify for you?
Ooh. If y'all could flash to the last scene of Dreamgirls when Jennifer Hudson turned to Curtis and said, because this time Effie White's gonna
win.
That is what I immediately thought of. Mm-hmm. Like Effie, let's just use that metaphor for Effie, right, to answer the question. Big voice, so much raw talent.
Yes.
Very much unbridled, right?
Mm-hmm.
All it needed was some good management, some good structure, and it could have went to unknown places.
Right.
But somebody wanted to squash that voice.
Right.
Uplift something that was a little more TV friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And took advantage of one black woman in the name of lifting up another black woman.
Right.
But by the end of it, both black women won. Exactly. Both women.
Yep.
So I think, when I think of black women winning, it's the relaxation of peace, where we are not threatened by any other gender. It's not a gender verse conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a us and, like I was talking about before, like women belong with, because we create community.
Right.
So us winning is us being able to keep our wits about ourselves on our own terms,
right,
being able to communicate how we want to communicate and not being gaslighted while we're communicating. Right. And just enjoying life and people enjoying life with us. That's the win.
Yeah. Hey, man, come on now. Like, let's just give another hand clap for Tiago. You feel me? I am so thankful that you have been on the show. I thank you so much. You gave us a lot to unpack. You feel me? And anybody that is listening to this, I really, 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 and this is why I wanted her first on the show for the series, because I knew she was going to bring that heat. You feel me? My gosh, she was going to bring that heat. Tiaja, where can people follow you? Where can people get in touch or connect with you?
First, can I just thank you for not giving up?
Don't make me cry on this show now.
I'm not going to. I'm trying not to. Let me tell you. It is so. So, y'all, let me give you some backstory to the backstory. When I was ready to launch my podcast, I went to, how he called me his mentor, I went to him as my shoulder brother, right? Like, we were in gospel choir together.
Yes, ma'am.
We hung out in some of the same offices together. Yes, but ma'am. I didn't realize he had gave me this space of elevation in his life. I see him as my equal colleague, right? Like, I'm talking to the people now. But to see the magnitude of your fortitude and all that you are yet becoming, and I see the hope on your face, and honey, hope looks good on you. It does.
She's trying to make me tear up over here, and I'm trying to hold the tears together, Lord Jesus.
No, but you are, and I'm so grateful. Thank you. I'm so thankful that this podcast exists. I'm grateful that you were able to accommodate me and have me on the show. Like,
absolutely.
The Black Boy Joy is doing it for me. Don't you dare. It really is. Like, you know, life is hard like it is, yeah. But to be here, I'm grateful, and I'm so thankful to be. Wait till. Okay, so this is how y'all follow me, because you coming on my show. Because God is good, and he's creating provision for everything that I'm doing right now.
Amen.
So, y'all can follow my personal page. It's Coach T Asia A on Instagram. Now, if you're interested in following my podcast, where I do spend a little bit more time talking about Black women experiences, that handle is she.speaks with three S's at the end. So S-P-E-A-K-S-S-S, because we're a little ratchet,
yeah,
but we're still scholarly. Yes. All right. you can follow it there. And if you are curious about what it means to be an insurance agent, or if you are considering adding another stream of income or anything like that, you can go and follow me at RT Financial Investments, or you can send me an email at tasia@rtfinancialinvestments.com. And I'd be happy to talk to you a little bit more about that, or even set up an interview if you're like, I know I want this. Mm-hmm. But y'all get with me, stay with him, stay connected, stay plugged in, because these conversations is how we give life. This is how we win.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing about it. I it's weird because, again, this podcast started off as a blog to just literally celebrate, you know, my people, and particularly give a different vibe and a different notion and a different, I guess you could say, affirmation to Black men in a sense, because you know, we have so many negative stereotypes about ourselves, right? And I wanted to have and create something that is not negative. You know, we can talk about those, but like, what's the counteractive measures that we can help each other and everything? And this series is the same. It is learning and understanding more about the Black woman. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm thankful for you to be on here. Again, Tiaja has been a mentor for me, a spiritual, like, provisioner guide for me. You understand what I'm saying? Again, when we were in choir together, you understand what I'm saying? Like, it was, and for me personally, and I'm gonna go on a tangent in a little bit, Tiaja was always the one who could really, 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 and I'm gonna keep it 100, really balance righteousness and ratchetness. You understand what I'm saying? Like, let me give it, like, let me, for real, right? We ain't gotta go deep into it, but I'm saying, it was like, I was like, wait, what? But everybody, wait a minute, now? How is she doing this shit? And I'm like, oh no, God. Oh no, God. I want this. Because it is something to understand. It is something to really be, how can I say, really be just admired to and admired by, because you're so dope. And I want to thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for giving us your words of wisdom. You feel me? Because you are wise honestly behind your years, and I don't think you understand that. So we love you. We thank you. You feel what I'm saying? I thank everybody for watching and everybody for listening. Please subscribe to the Black Men Win podcast wherever you listen to podcasts from. We forgot to do the little bit because I was so excited for this interview. But please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts via audio. And you can watch this via on YouTube. So subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We'll have all the links in our description box and where you can follow Tiaja and get her services. You feel what I'm saying? So and please cop some merch. You feel what I'm saying? We got some Black Men Win merch out here. I'm trying to decide if I maybe want to drop some exclusive like Black Women Win merch. You feel what I'm saying? So that's in the works too. So look out for that coming Friday. You feel what I'm saying? So look, yes. I was like, we got to do a little exclusive all March merch for Women's History Month, specifically for my Black women. So it has to be done. So I'm going to get that together for you guys on Friday and we'll drop that on Friday. All right. I love you guys. We'll be back with another interview next week. This has been another one. And we out. Peace, love, and hair grease.